You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
More speculation on what happened at Mossack Fonseca, much of it turning on social engineering and buggy software. Victims may be prematurely paying ransomware extortion demands. Patch Tuesday addresses the much-feared Badlock bug, which turns out to be bad enough but not exactly devastating. Researchers take a look at the current state of the cybercriminal black market, and the FBI may have hired a small crew of white and gray hats to crack the San Bernardino iPhone. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, April 13th, 2016. The Panama Papers' unnamed but widely looked-for dogs in the night still haven't barked, but speculation about how the leak happened continues, with social engineering of email server credentials, buggy WordPress plugins, and an outdated Drupal instance heading the list. Ransomware attacks are still popular, proving easy to execute, and many corporate victims are ponying up the ransom rather than fighting through to get their assets. But not everyone caves in. After all, MedStar seems to have recovered without paying its extortionists. White Hat researchers continue to release decryption tools as they develop them. It's good to remember in this context that criminal coders aren't perfect, and they don't have to be. They only have to succeed a fraction of the time for their crimes to pay. In some respects, ransomware recovery tools tilt the familiar attacker's advantage toward the good guys. If the criminal's encryption has a flaw, crypto flaws can be exploited for good as well as evil. A large malvertising campaign has hit nearly 300 popular sites in the Netherlands. Fox IT saw the attack developing in its early stages Sunday, and the campaign has now affected some of the country's largest media sites. Recovery is underway. Distributed denial-of-service attacks also retain their popularity. Many of these are conducted by hacktivists for political reasons, as we've seen this week in the Baltic. The United States, by the way, has just eclipsed Turkey atop the DDoS leaderboard, according to the score Nexus Guard is keeping. But they also affect businesses, which see service disruption as one of the principal risks they face, and the insurers who cover those businesses tend to agree. Mark Gaffin, Imperva's vice president and general manager for the company's Encapsula product line, commented on this threat. Quote, DDoS tools are inexpensive and widely available and can cause great damage to organizations, he said. Once a new technology is widely adopted, legal or not, it becomes a fact of life, much the way online piracy and identity theft continue to thrive. The growth of market stressors is here to stay. End quote. Observers of the black market continue to see an increasing professionalization of cyber criminals, who are finding ways of offering their services for hire. The individual hoods seem not to be getting rich doing this. Their secret would appear to be volume, to judge from the price lists that have emerged from the dark web this week. But the bosses are making money, and that's a familiar Freakonomic lesson about criminal markets generally considered. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise researchers have an interesting insight into the black market. Credit card theft is serving as a kind of angel investment for Eastern European, especially Russian, cyber gangs. There's an extensive criminal supply chain of reseller fraud in which items are purchased with stolen credentials, dropped, then resold and reshipped to places where Western, especially American, companies won't do business, precisely because of the high rates of credit card fraud. Yesterday, of course, was Patch Tuesday, and Microsoft released a baker's dozen of fixes, what ThreatPost calls a Lucky 13. Among the updates is a patch for the much-feared, some complain much-hyped, Badlock vulnerability, which turns out to be less catastrophic than its logo may have suggested. Samba also addressed Badlock. So what is Badlock, beyond the much-hyped, screaming red logo that branded the mysterious bug about a month ago? Essentially, it's a serious flaw in the Distributed Computing Environment Remote Procedure Call, DCE/RPC. It affects both Windows and Linux machines. Indeed, any platform using DCE/RPC is vulnerable. Most worrisomely, the bug could permit an attacker to gain access to Active Directory. Craig Young, a researcher with Tripwire, offered this perspective. Quote, if Badlock is successfully exploited, the attacker would be able to impersonate other users and subsequently retrieve password hashes, shut down services, expose secrets from the Active Directory, manipulate file attributes, and gain access to protected files. End quote. As most observers have noted, the vulnerability is likely to require either a malicious insider or a successful man-in-the-middle attack for exploitation. While this may not be as severe as a remote code execution vulnerability, Young said, the fact that an attacker on the local network can likely exploit it through well-known techniques such as ARP spoofing makes it a critical vulnerability. End quote. So, admins, look to your defenses against man-in-the-middle attacks and, by all means, patch. Cybersecurity stocks are showing mixed results so far this week, with analysts divided over their prospects. There is one bit of M&A news. Optiv Security, itself formed from the merger of Acuvant and Fishnet Security, has picked up identity and access management shop Advansiv. What Optiv paid has not yet been disclosed, but the company says the acquisition aligns with their long-term strategy to position themselves as a leader in identity and access management. According to the Washington Post, the FBI didn't use Cellebrite to unlock the San Bernardino jihadist's iPhone after all. The Post says they hired a small, mixed crew of white hat and gray hat hackers to do the job, and some people find the participation of gray hats disconcerting. For definitions of white hat and gray hat, see the CyberWire's helpful definitions at our online glossary, thecyberwire.com/glossary. It's all there. Finally, we're struck by how many in the industry press seem disappointed that Badlock turned out to be less devastating than they'd feared. But we say, hey, settle down, gang. There's plenty of gruesomeness out there to satisfy the most Hitchcockian digital ghoul. So be happy that bright red logo didn't, after all, turn out to be the destructor you all feared or hoped for. In any case, do patch. And stay safe out there. Joe Kerrigan joins me once again. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute, one of our academic and research partners. Joe, you had to help your mom out a little bit with some computer problems recently, yes?
Yeah, that's right. I got a call from her last week where she said there was a message on her computer, and I didn't understand what that meant. And then she held the phone down, and her computer was actually playing a sound file that said, your computer is infected. You need to call this number to have the infection removed. This is something that she's managed, some kind of malware that she's managed to get installed on her machine that needs to be removed. But the actual malware is what's playing this file.
So it really points to the fact that it's really easy to inadvertently stumble across one of these malware traps.
Yeah, it is. It's if you If you go to the wrong site, have a drive-by download or even click on an email attachment or a malicious Word file, there's all kinds of vectors to get these things in into your computer. A vector is just, you know, when we say vector, it just means a way that the malware can be installed on your computer. However, that's not the only fraudulent way that that people are being exploited. Just last week, there was also a phone message on my answering machine at home saying that it was from Microsoft. It was an automated voice, and they were saying that all of your Microsoft products will be deactivated if you don't call this number. Now, of course, that's a fraudulent message as well. Microsoft doesn't make a habit of calling people and say, we're going to shut your Microsoft products off.
Yeah, we got one recently that said we were days away from having our electricity shut off for non-payment. And if we called this number and paid right away, well, you know, we wouldn't get it shut off. And of course, we pay our bill on time every month. And BG&E usually doesn't call you with these sorts of things. They send you a letter.
That's right. And if you do get the message, then you should never call the number that they leave for you. You should call the number that you can find either in the phone book or on the company's website, and call their billing department.
Good advice. Joe Kerrigan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.